The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Produced with podcasting gear from Tascam. Trust your audio to Tascam. Sound thinking.
This show brought to you by Jersey Ninja. New items added weekly, superior quality products, excellent selection, competitive pricing, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. That's Jersey Ninja at jerseyninja.com, your source for great quality hockey jerseys and performance wear products.
Welcome to another episode of Wookiee Radio. It is the Smugglers 3, Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Meet Ken, Derek, and Mike. How are you guys doing?
I want to be Huey. No, I want to be Dewey.
I'm still grumpy after the end of that episode 4.
Actually, you know what? You know what's funny? I used to work with a guy who used to call everybody Louie, so I guess I would have to be Louie.
That's okay. When I get a lot of times, if I, depending on, or last time I drove down to West Virginia for a wrestling show, I had three guys in the back seat that was Larry Curly and Mo.
Yeah. See that too. So how are you guys doing?
I'm right.
Yeah, I'm not doing too bad.
I'm doing super.
Is everything super?
Yes. I got my boot off today.
You probably finally paid your fines, huh?
I finally paid the fines.
I can only imagine what that must have smelled like.
Not too bad, because I've been taking it off and on the shower. And for the last month, I've been able to put weight on the foot. So every now and then I've taken it off to walked around briefly without it. But
his family always thought it smelled bad on the outside.
But the fact that I don't have to wear it bed anymore. That's a nice thing. So check out the homepage and at WookieRadio.net. Support our affiliates like Bitty Boomers. Use code WeBeGeeks for 15% off your purchase of Bluetooth speakers. Red Flag Workshop. Use code SMUGGLERS3. 25% off your patches, earrings, and sticker needs. A lot of great sci-fi related stuff there. Red Flag Workshop. All right, I just said Red Flag Workshop. Rebel Sabers. Use code Wookie for 10% off your lightsaber needs at hangar-58.com. Use code Wookie Radio for 10% off your purchases there. And at Jersey Ninja, our proud sponsor, use code WeBeGeeks for 10% off your purchase at Jersey Ninja. So, before we get into 4 episodes.
It's the new metal poster from Display.
No, it's not.
With unique.
Sorry, y'all didn't hear that.
Well, before we get away from the sponsors, one of our sponsors has something new on the website that I just found that I'm gonna be broke now.
What's that?
Heroes and Villains. Have you seen their band tees? Star Wars band tees.
Yeah. I was disappointed that there was one missing. Or a couple missing. I didn't see DJ Rex. Unless I'm wrong.
No, they only have 4 right now, but who else?
I don't see Gaia from Star Crew.
Yeah, but see, those ones are they're part of the actual canon, but they're still Disney Parks things.
Right.
Yeah. So Heroes and Villains may not be able to do those. They do have a Max Rebo and the Max Rebo Band, two Figment and Dan, and then one of Cy Snoodles.
I'd probably go Friggin' Dan, because I've always loved the Cantina Band.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd have to go with Max Rebo.
Me too. I love Max Rebo.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Max Rebo Band and Cy Snoodles. But if I'm going to collect, you know, make sure I get a Cantina Band or a music group, my figure collection is going to be the Cantina. But speaking of figures,
are we going down this rabbit hole again?
sort of. I'll jump in. New Black Series figure to set launch at Collector Con. It'll be a Collector Con exclusive, which is happening March 14th and 15th at Walmart. It's a Star Wars Mandalorian Night Owl figure set. And the Night Owl is the female Death Watch.
Yeah.
This looks good. I mean, it's cool that they're doing all these, you know, Death Watch, Night Owl figures. Because she now goes by Mercedes Moné. She technically is a Night Owl. Bo-Katan's technically Night Owl, but they're all still part of Death Watch because of the color scheme.
And lots and lots and lots and lots of rumors that Mercedes Moné will be making an appearance Sunday night at AEW's pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
That is a sharp-looking figures, but that one is.
Yeah. I mean, I like how this one's a slightly darker blue than the others. Instead of the more steel blue. This really has a nice look to it. Now, they're saying this one's inspired by the character that appeared in season 3 of Mandalorian. But, you know, it's the exact same thing as, whatchamacallit? It's almost the same as Mercedes character.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember her name off the top of my head. I'm looking here because that's what I thought this was her figure, but it doesn't say that specifically.
And it almost looks very similar to, it's got a very similar look to Bo-Katan.
But with the dark color, it looks like I'm drawing a blank on the name, on the character name.
So wait, you're saying some figures of Mandalorians kind of look the same?
I know, it's weird.
And then also, of course, the Black Series R46DO, which is Grief Karga's astromech, will be available at that time as well.
Cool.
Which that I'm interested in getting.
I'm still curious on what they're going to do
with Grief.
Yeah.
I think they're going to grieve.
Too soon.
Too dad.
That's more like it. So, yeah, that was the new figure that was dropped today.
Well, that figures. Sorry.
Come on, Derek, you're better than this.
I know. I'm not even a dad.
My God. Give yourself to the dark side.
No. Mike, you got to get right. You're trying to get him to give himself to the dad side.
I know it's too late for him at this point.
The dark side.
I know it's too late for him at this point.
I think we need to change the subject before this continues on anymore.
Before Nancy walks in and says, Derek, surprise.
I know that ain't going to happen. It's another cat.
Did you guys watch the Avatar series that just came out on Netflix yet?
Not yet, no.
No,
not yet. I actually didn't realize it had come out already.
Well, you guys know the characters, right? In general?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Did you see who's playing Uncle Iroh?
No.
Paul, you guys recognize possibly the name, Paul Sun Yuang Lee. Who happens to be our favorite Captain Carson Teva.
Yeah, Carson Teva.
He plays Uncle Iroh through the whole thing.
Very well. Let's get into some Bad Batch debrief, shall we?
All right. Here's the mission debrief.
Why don't you try that again, Joseph?
All right. Here's the mission debrief.
All right.
I'm sending to your terminals now.
Four episodes of Bad Batch to cover, because we were all busy last week where we couldn't get to it or get to the show. This just gave us a little extra time to make sure we're ready for tonight. So the four episodes are Confined, Paths Unknown, Shadows of Tantus, and of course this week's episode, which was
I don't think that was the name of the episode.
No, it's not. The Next Path?
No. It was another something.
I'll have it here in a sec. A different approach.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Hey, you're maybe.
It was interesting the way they did these, but really, I went back and thought about it when you see that since the team is totally split right now, we got basically three Omega episodes and one Hunter and Wrecker. But if you think about it, you go back, really, this show, it's about the Bad Batch, but it's basically Omega's show.
Right.
Because the rest of them revolve around what she's doing and how she's learning to work with them.
Right.
So given three episodes with her, centered around her, and basically took three episodes to bring back Crosshair. Because after last season, the team's getting a little small.
Yeah. It was down to three people. Or if you include Echo.
I say Echo's still there. He just wants to be more active than they do.
He comes and goes.
Just like an Echo.
So how do we want to cover this, guys? Do we want to just synopsis or do the good, the bad, the nitpicky across all four episodes? Or do we want to try and do it episode at a time?
I say we do all four.
Yeah.
It's going to get really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. So, another notation. Dennis? Derek, why don't you start us off with your nitpicky episode?
All right. I'll say my nitpicky is I'm getting a little annoyed with Omega always wanting to save everybody. It's just like, it's not realistic, kid. Come on. It's like, oh, we have to go back and get all the prisoners, and oh, we got to save all these animals. And it's like, come on.
Well, you got to remember, she's only, what, 12?
I know, but still. You got to look at the situation you're in. That's why it's a nitpicky.
Okay.
I'm thinking. really, I enjoyed them, but I don't know. Maybe the that we're not getting. They're still trying to hide almost too much, it feels like. At this point, we're in Tantus. With all the cloning, they've already shown 100% that they're trying to get Midichlorians into a clone.
Right.
So let us know the rest of the story.
They never mentioned Midichlorians.
Yes, they're M count. Which I watched the trivia galleries on the first three episodes because they're up on StarWars.com now. And it totally passed me by that Pershing had mentioned M counts back in Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yep.
Yeah. It totally passed me by when they did that.
Me too, apparently.
For me, nitpicky, I felt like the first three episodes could have been cut down to two. Or two and a half.
Maybe two and a half, because that first episode they probably could have trimmed down a little bit.
Yeah,
because a lot of that episode was establishing what Tantus is, what Omega has to do while she's there, and just what the routine is.
Yeah, but they could have,
They could have trimmed that down a little bit.
They could have done it as half an episode of half that and half the what was going on with Hunter and Wrecker, I think.
Possibly.
Made it one episode instead of two.
Yeah.
Well, the only way that the only problem that they would have, I think, with that is the fact that the two stories don't cross at all. The two totally separate stories, which is harder for, I think, people to follow going back and forth in one episode.
Maybe. I don't know. It's been done before.
Yeah. Also, remember, like we've said before, we're actually hardcore Star Wars fans talking about this on the on a podcast and everything else, where the general population is who they're aiming this at or trying to.
Right.
Maybe
right.
Wouldn't be able to follow it as well. I don't know.
I don't know, because I think a lot of the mainstream fans don't really watch the animated series as much.
Unfortunately. There's some really good stuff that they skip.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd start with the Bad Batch if they did. Well, they might if they didn't realize what it was, but...
Guess let's go next with the Bad. Did we...
I got Bad.
Go ahead.
I found the first three episodes kind of depressing.
Yeah?
And I wasn't enjoying them at first. I enjoyed the fourth one better, but the first three, I just... they're just bringing me down, man.
I don't know. The first and third, I can see that. The second one was an adventure show.
Okay, maybe...
The second one kind of... That's why I'm glad they broke it up with that episode in the middle.
Yeah, maybe that...
Put it up a little bit.
Not as much, but... Yeah. Because
that was a straight adventure, including giant tentacle monster. I mean, touch how can you be sad about an episode with a giant tentacle monster in it?
Which, when that was discussed, I, before realizing, oh, this was a secret weapon created by the Empire, which, of course, we know comes from, you know, this would have been a creation from the Sith. It made me think about the plant creatures from the High Republic.
Ah, yeah, Drengir?
Yeah. Making me almost wonder, were the Drengir potentially something created by the Sith?
Yeah, prior, especially prior taking to, over taking over this planet.
And they took off. They took over that one space station in Phase One.
Well, what's the chances possibly that whatever this is a modified version of what the Drengir were?
Very much so. I think it is.
And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, go back and read the High Republic stuff.
Yeah, it's right there in the first
one. They were all in Phase One.
Yeah, first couple books even.
I remember when those were in there. If I remember, there was little bits and pieces that felt almost like Yuuzhan Vong when they were describing it. Because if I remember, it wasn't Drengir really not didn't have much of a presence in the Force or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So I think going back to what you had said, Mike, if it had been maybe a little shorter than three episodes, maybe I wouldn't have found it as depressing. But
I think episodes one and three could have been merged together.
Yes, one. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think if the season started with episode two, I would have been okay with it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I enjoyed watching them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Star Wars. I'm enjoying the fact that we're getting this.
Right.
Think of it this way also. If they had actually released this in three consecutive weeks, would you have felt the same way?
Probably.
Where you had the break in between.
I think so.
One was kind of a downer because you see that she's pretty much... Nala Se is the only reason Omega's safe.
Right. I think even if we were waiting, say this was next week and we were getting the third episode next week, after seeing this, I would definitely be saying the exact same thing. I still think one and three could have been combined into an episode.
Yeah.
And two should have been the opener.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get the whole... what they're trying to establish and everything, but
yeah,
I don't know. Just
I mean, I, I was that way with, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, even going back, looking at that, and even rewatching it, there's a lot of the first half of season one that, like, no, just get rid of. It's not necessary.
Okay. All right.
And I still feel that way.
But you got to remember, wasn't that a, how many episodes were they going per season on that?
20-something like, per season.
Yeah, it was like a regularly.
You're stuck with filler in there because it's hard to do story for 22 episodes.
Yeah.
At an hour each.
Yeah, but the
plus, until they got into the pod type thing where you got four stories or four episodes to tell a story, four episodes to tell a story, you know what I mean?
Plus, in season one, they were still in the It's Connected, maybe? Yeah,
it's all connected.
Yeah. Is it, though? I don't know. We'll go with yes.
I still want to know, though, seeing the Tantus stuff, what's the backstory of Emery? I thought Omega was the only female clone, unless she's not a clone from the Kamino and Batches.
Well, I'm sure they're going to cover that at some point.
Well, I'm wondering going forward, since this was the last, we know this is the last season and probably the last time we're going to touch in this time frame for a while.
Mm.
I wonder how much Dave Filoni was more involved in the writer's room than he has been for the other seasons. To actually set up the pre-story for a lot of what they want to do going forward with the in the Mando timeline. Because we see a lot of this stuff, like I said, these first four episodes, a lot of stuff referenced things that we heard about in Mandalorian and Ahsoka. With right. The cloning projects and stuff. It's like, yeah, I think the rest of this season, we're going to get a whole lot of info that we didn't have before. Backstory stuff. I would not be surprised if we possibly saw a baby Grogu in the final season or final episode, or he's in a test tube or something.
I would not be surprised. Yeah.
I mean, he'd be in the right. I mean, this would put him in the right time frame.
Yeah. I mean, he could even be sitting in stasis somewhere or something.
Mm.
Maybe that's because they said they found a, if I remember, it wasn't Pershing telling the Emperor we've actually succeeded with one. And then it was in the vault, but we never actually get to see the vault.
Right. I was just going to say that. We never saw what was in the vault. So
maybe that's Grogu.
Yeah, but we don't.
It's possible.
We don't have Pershing in this, though.
Not Pershing. What's his name?
Hemlock.
Hemlock. Because remember, they also mentioned, and I guess it's mentioned in Mandalorian also, because I read it in the trivia things, Captain Pelion actually mentions Project Necromancer.
Yeah.
Which is yes. What was called. And you got to think, who are they raising from the dead? Well, maybe they cloned like Yoda. So the idea would be raising Yoda from the dead. All of a sudden, you have a high Metachlorian count. Yeah. Even though he's not dead, but they don't know that.
True.
So then, well, we're kind of be jumping around a little, but
we're jumping all over the place anyway. So
yeah. So then it's, you know, it's discovered that Omega does have a high M transfer count.
Yeah.
So what if she's just a clone? How do you think that happened?
Not the same new from the beginning, remember?
Yes, but
it was something in her. It was something in her cloning that I think it's when they made her female, they figured out how to do that too, but they just weren't telling anybody.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
it was one of those Kaminoans were figured this out, but they're not going to let anybody else know how to do this either. You know,
yeah, right? Yeah,
well, wasn't it discussed in Attack of the Clones that you know, they tried to clone a Jedi?
I think so. Yeah,
I don't remember it being mentioned.
They tried, they did.
Yeah,
they tried with no success. That's why they went with a different host.
I don't remember that at all. That part.
Mm.
It's like when.
I'm not sure if I do or not.
Yeah, because the whole idea was they were cloning an army. Not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think they were originally wanting a Jedi arm. I'm going to have to watch that later.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Which again, I'm okay again. With.
That's right. That's your favorite one.
The prequels. Yes, it is. Jealous.
He loves the love story.
No. There's more love story in Revenge of the Sith.
You say that, but we'll see.
I say that.
We'll see in another 4 years when I finally get to there.
So, any other bads?
That was mine.
I really didn't have any. But I generally sit here just to enjoy and watch. So,
for me,
what do you got, Mike?
Hemlock in general, not supposedly having a tighter ship or tighter control of the ranks, and that was just almost still way too easy for Omega and Crosshair to get out.
Well, you got to remember, the design, all the security stuff was designed to hold standard clones,
right?
The Batchers in Clone 99 is not standard clones.
Yeah.
And they had Nalase's help.
But they also had broken Crosshair. At this point in time, you could tell he was pretty much a regular clone. With the way he was broken down.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say he was a regular clone, but
the other catch for me was, you know, if you had, I understand you got to keep the show going, but what the shuttle was just to give up on the shuttle, as quickly as he did. Like you have a chance.
Remember, for the Empire, even at this time, troopers were interchangeable. They're expendable.
Right. But they're trying to get Omega, prevent Omega from leaving.
Oh, you mean at the end? Yeah, I was thinking
at the end of that.
Remember, the point he made. The only option was either shoot them down or let them fly.
Right. And they wanted really that.
With fighters following them, fighters don't have tractor beams.
Right. So, and he wanted her alive. So,
the chances, I mean, they could have possibly disabled her. But you've seen the way the Imperials shoot.
True.
There's probably a better chance that they're going to destroy the shuttle anyway. Let it go and find her later.
Yeah, really.
And you're bad about Hemlock in general. I was thinking, you mean the not Sam Witwer?
Yeah.
I swear, everything about that character is Sam Witwer without putting him in it. It looks like him. It sounds like him.
Maybe I kind of like him, though, but that might be why.
If it had Witwer, it'd be a more enjoyable character.
Possibly. Hey, maybe he's going to make everybody, they're going to make all you guys happy. They're saving Witwer for Starkiller. Out of nowhere.
That's a possibility, especially with the way this is going.
Oh yeah, one more nitpicky. I think the her little hound there kind of gets in the way.
Batcher?
Of the story.
I was sitting here watching Batcher waiting and waiting. Because imagine that look on Wrecker's face when he meets Batcher. That's going to be Wrecker's best friend of all time.
Yeah.
Because look how he is with Gonky already.
You mean when he had him strapped to his back?
That's still his little buddy, but imagine what he's going to do when he gets a hold of Batcher.
He's going to hug him and squeeze him and call him George.
You know, that's you. Omega may be acting like she's trying to save everybody and everything else. No, she was trying to put a smile on Wrecker's face. You know that's the only reason she brought that dog home.
Yeah.
So at this point, I think she's older than Wrecker.
Well, I guess going back to another nitpicky, what happened to the trio of clone cadets?
They took them back to that island world.
Oh, that's right.
Because remember, Hunter says, hey, we're going to drop you off somewhere safe.
That's right.
But I think you actually mentioned an island that the Empire won't get to you or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, did you catch any of the actors from those clone cadets?
Ox was Daniel Logan.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
recognize that voice anywhere. I did not catch what the other two were. I was surprised too.
Do you think we'll see them again at all?
I think so.
The way that they write these animated shows, probably. Remember what they did with Rebels? The second half of the last season, everybody you'd ever met in the entire show had showed up. And we got a full 16 episodes on this, right?
I believe so.
So we have a long way to go still.
Not as long as you think.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying we're only a quarter of the way through.
Right. So I think
there's a couple of double
episodes. Next week. Next week is a single week, or is next week a double week?
That's a good question.
I don't remember.
One episode next week. Yeah, one episode next week. One episode, two episodes the week after that. So 6 and 7. Episode 8 by itself, 9 by itself, 10 and 11 together, 12 by itself, 13 by itself, 14 by itself, 15 by itself.
I'm hoping the weeks they do double episodes are actually like part 1 and part 2 episodes, not just two independent episodes.
Yeah.
I believe it is, but did you see the titles of the last two episodes?
Flash, Sky, and the Calvary has arrived. And I'm almost wondering if the Calvary is an Easter egg about Ming-Na Wen.
See, I would think it would be Rex and Echo.
I'm wondering if it's Fennec Shand.
Fennec Shand is a bounty hunter, right? I mean, why would she be showing up to help them?
Yeah.
Because it's an Easter egg nod to Ming-Na Wen's character of May from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, I'm... Fennec Shand, I think, showing up in this is going to be... She's looking for Omega for the Empire. She's working for the Empire for Omega.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Ken, that it would be a Rex and Echo thing.
Yeah. You got to think, at this point, Pershing is going to lose the trail. Obviously, he's going to find Hemlock. The cargo ship. There's nothing, Hemlock's going to lose the trail. So he's going to have to turn to bounty hunters, and the bounty hunters are going to start searching.
Right.
So we might get a Cad Bane. We might get a couple of other ones, too.
Where the heck is this?
Actually, didn't we see Cad Bane in one of the trailers?
That's a good question.
I thought we did.
I thought so too.
But yeah, Fennec Shand, Cad Bane, all those guys are going to show up looking for Omega. Now, I could see Omega making them decide not to do it, turn her in. Just putting her Omega magic on stuff.
Yeah, that's possible.
It's just like in the episode 4 here where Crosshair is just ready to shoot his way out of everything. Omega's like, no, let's try something else. I don't want to hurt people.
Right. Well, I love in this last episode when they're at the port to get Batcher back, Omega just finally gives in and says, okay, yeah, we'll do it your way.
Yeah.
But she still didn't do it his way because she did it her way also. Remember, she wanted to release all the animals anyway. So,
right.
Oh, wait. He caused a distraction. I can let them all out. And that's what actually got them out. It wasn't him shooting everybody.
Yeah.
How did you like the Easter egg of the creature that got Captain Man?
Was that supposed to be a Rattar?
Yes, it was.
I mean, it was just a tentacle, but still.
The same type of tentacle that the Rattars have. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Were they actually playing Sabacc in the bar?
Yes.
It looked like it, but not quite. I wasn't sure.
Yes, it was a variation. It was a variation of Sabacc. Which now, with seeing that deck come out, I'm curious to see how long before the different people on Etsy start putting out a deck for that.
I saw some headline in one article. They were like, ooh, do we have a new card game?
It's Sabacc. It's a form of Sabacc.
It took 40 years for them to actually make Sabacc so people can play it. You think they're going to make a new one?
I know, right?
Well, it's a variation of Sabacc.
Yeah.
It's just instead of staves, you've got suns. So, I mean, that's what makes it slightly different.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that plays out. But if someone comes up with that
usually deck, with lots of credit cards.
If someone comes up with that deck, I will highly be interested. Because somebody has also made the card deck of the Sabacc from Rebels, where it's the square cards. You know, where everything's done in the same shape as regular playing card. So, yeah, I'm looking at getting that set as well. So, I guess is there any other ban?
I didn't have anything else.
Only that it took 4 episodes for them to get back together.
Well, that's the cool thing about this being 16 episodes. They can actually take their time on some stuff.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
So it's going to be interesting to see where we go from here.
Let's touch on.
On what?
Good.
I know we've already started on that some, but this is, it's great to have this back. And actually, for an animated show, that scene, the scene at the end of episode 4, where Omega gets back together with Wrecker and Hunter, that almost brought a tear to the eye.
Yeah,
it did bring a tear to their eyes.
Well, it worked in all the ways it's supposed to work that you normally would see in like a live action show.
Mm.
Any other goods?
I kind of like the way they're handling the Imperials in this season.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, I kind of found the captain, the what's his face, the guy she was gambling with, I found him kind of interesting.
Captain Man.
Yeah, Captain Man. Bad name, but
I kind of hope he survives the Rathar. I don't think he will.
I don't have high hopes for that, but
yeah, I don't think we're ever coming back to that world anyway. But yeah, it was kind of cool that they're showing this early in the Empire, the corruption is already all throughout it.
Yeah, yeah.
The bad guys are actual bad guys.
Yeah.
And this little captain is in charge of a garrison on this no-name world, nowhere, no one's ever heard of. But he's like, you know what? I'm still the biggest dog on this yard.
Yeah, he's like, I run this town. This is my town.
I don't think he has. It's one of those guys that has no ambition to get any farther because they don't want to start at the bottom of the totem pole somewhere. They're already on top where he's at.
Right. He's got everything he needs.
I agree.
Or he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other goods?
Like I said, that second episode, the just the adventure of it all.
Yeah.
We still got story out of it to where we learned a little bit about how Tantus wasn't the first place they were doing this research at.
Right.
It eventually got to Tantus because the base on this other world was a lot smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the fourth episode had some good adventure in it too.
Yep. I think so. I did like with episode 2 how it seems like the new group will eventually, I think we're going to see them in some form or fashion later down the road. I thought there was a lot of foreshadowing with them. It's going to be a lot of great. It was a lot of great foreshadowing.
Yeah. Possibly.
Just because it seems like, it just seems like they've got the experience. They have advanced experience in other clones that were happening at that time.
Hmm.
Well, there's a good possibility they were the last batch made.
Oh yeah,
so most likely. The bad batch and the last batch,
quite possibly. Because at this point, Kamino is all water, forget no more bases on top of it.
Right.
Right.
So the clones aren't coming from Kamino. There's other places that has cloning facilities, but.
Another nice nod. Everyone was still wearing or involved at the cloning facility. Their patches on the uniforms were the same as the patches that the clone cadets had on Kamino.
Yeah.
They haven't carried over to the, for them, the ISS logo, which we see, you know, on Krennic, that we've seen on others, on Pershing.
The ISB logo.
The ISB. It's, I think we see it on Hemlock. I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
So, anything else good?
Trying to remember what I really had fun with. Oh, actually, the back to, we mentioned Emery earlier. We saw in the first episode that Emery actually is not insensitive to what's going on.
Right.
Because she's the one that made Omega give up the doll, but still gave it back to her later.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's not going to come back later, that Emery's going to defect to the working with the Bad Batch later. Because she is a clone supposed to be.
Right. We definitely got it. We're definitely, we need to have more of her story.
Yeah.
Where she came from, where, you know, what she's been doing.
Even if we don't get where she's come from, we need to get a resolution with her.
Yeah, well, were they pulling the blood samples from her too?
I don't think so.
We never see it.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's never discussed. So could it be that she was overlooked?
I don't.
Or because she has been conceding to working with the Empire, they didn't feel she was necessarily needed to be tested.
Or maybe she has been tested enough, and they've already determined that she doesn't have the goods.
The only other option I can think of is maybe she really is not a clone.
Well, the other side of that would be she is a clone, but she's not a Kaminoan clone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility as well. It's also a good
possibility. So she's not actually related to any of them because it's not from anywhere near the same stock.
Right. Just because she's a clone doesn't mean she's one of their. Yeah.
Because there are, remember when Obi-Wan's talking to Dex about the saber dart, he says they're cloners, but that, like, that's something that's that actually happens out on the Outer Rim more than just there.
Right.
The term cloners, he knows. So it's like, he just never heard of Kamino. So there's other cloners out on the Outer Rim somewhere. I mean, it's implied that the Republic isn't fond of clones. And it may have been illegal to generate clones within the Republic. I don't remember. I think they mentioned it somewhere in one of the books about that, where it was actually illegal to do cloning.
Right.
Or something, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But either way, it seems like it's like that was a taboo type deal. It was technology that's been around for maybe thousands of years, for all we know.
Right.
It was not something that is widely done.
According to Wikipedia, Dr. Mary Carr was a human female clone created from the genetic template of the Mandalorian bounty hunter Jango Fett.
Okay, then she is a Kamino clone.
She worked as a scientist with Dr. Royce Hemlock on Mount Mantis. Following Lieutenant Nolan's death at the hands of Crosshair, Carr supervised the clone's medical treatment. When the enhanced female clone Omega was captured and brought to Mount Mantis by Hemlock, Carr informed her that Crosshair was still alive and recuperating along with the other rogue clone, leading to Omega still being distrustful towards her. Carr revealed that she was also her sister.
Now, when we first heard about Tantus here on in Bad Batch, they did mention that the planet's Waylon, right? Tantus is the mountain there, but was the base, but isn't it on the planet Waylon?
Yes.
Still?
Yes.
That's where it was originally.
Yes. which goes back to
all the way back to Heir to the Empire.
Heir to the Empire.
And it is basically that. Well, not quite, but in Heir to the Empire, they're in the old EU. There were cloning cylinders there, but the whole where it was more of a warehouse facility. It was the Emperor's basically secret storehouse right. for anything that he wanted to hide. That was his stuff.
Which almost feels like that's what we're getting at now.
Yeah, it's a secret base.
So, do we have anything else?
It'll be interesting with the way this one ended, where it's just Wrecker and Hunter see Crosshair, and that's it. I'm wondering if this week start with that scene and just move forward.
Also, do you think, how do you think it's going to be? How do you think they're going to take Heaven Crosshair back? Do you think they're just going to say, all right, well, you know, what happened, and we'll move on? Or is it going to be, you know, a tough go for a while?
I think it's going to be tough to get, I hope, but I'm hoping it's not tough for that long.
Right, yeah.
That could get very old very fast.
Right.
Yeah. But you can't just ignore everything else and say, oh, we're back to normal. Hey, Crosshair, welcome back.
But no, exactly. But maybe something will happen and Crosshair will end up, you know, saving them or something, and they'll start coming around to, you know, seeing that he's, you know, he is with them again.
Possibly.
Assuming he actually is.
Right.
Or maybe somehow he knows whatever it is that they get tech back because of him.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what, you know, everybody's hoping for that. We're hoping for that to get
back. I know.
I don't think it's going to happen, but
I don't either, but
I'm almost scared to see the end of this episode or this season, because I'm wondering how much of the Bad Batch actually makes it.
I'm guessing not much.
Really, with the direction that the universe is going and where they're at in the timeline, it'd be really hard to end this with a happy ending.
I'm getting a Rogue One ending feel.
I thought they said there wasn't going to be a happy ending. This,
I believe they did.
I don't remember if they said it or not, but it's like.
But the question is, to what degree?
Mm-hmm. But you see, it wouldn't be. I don't think it would be the Rogue One ending, because I've always seen the Rogue One ending was sad for the characters, but it was still a hopeful ending.
Yeah, but everybody died at the end.
Yeah. But they died for their cause. They died for what they believed.
Well, the Bad Batch might as well.
Cassian died for love.
But then because then the other question would be, where are the survivors? What happened?
Exactly. We know Rex makes it out of here. That's all we know.
Right.
Or at least that's what they tell us.
Right.
Hey, I saw Return of the Jedi. I saw him there.
after he was renamed.
I love how still to this day, Filoni and Favreau, nobody will actually confirm nor deny that that's been retconned that that's Rex. They won't say one way or the other whether it is.
Well, Filoni stated it once that it was.
But no, he never confirmed 100% saying that's what this is.
But also, I don't think he ever had a name before that, did he?
Everybody's face you've ever seen on the screen in Star Wars has gotten a name at some point.
Yeah, they had a different name for him.
And his is Rex.
But Filoni renamed him Rex. Filoni mentioned that he was Rex from the Clone Wars.
Now, if you go back and look, because I've read a couple different articles on it, when what Filoni was saying there, he still left it a little ambiguous that it could not, maybe not have been. It's one of those that people love to believe that or something like that is the way he says it. It's something in the way he said that where it sounds like he's confirming it, but he never actually does. Remember, Filoni is a master tap dancer.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it in person.
Where he'll answer your question, you'll 100%, and then you think back, wait a minute, he didn't tell me anything, even though you're 100% happy with what he told you. Without telling you anything.
Oh, believe me, I've seen it in person.
I mean, he's even better at tap dancing than George ever was. George would just tell you straight up if he wanted to answer something.
Loney took it to the next level.
Yeah.
For sure.
The cool thing, though, is he does, traditionally, he doesn't make it really, really annoying about it, though. Like, we have since a lot of the stuff with the Disney era with, like, with a lot of the movies and stuff where they're trying to keep everything so secret that, like, even the actors only have the script from the day they're working, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Filoni never got that tight with it, but it's almost like he makes it, it's almost fun to have him tap dance away from your question. When everybody else does it, it comes off as like malicious and just, it sucks.
Well, when I did the press conference or the presser or Rebels at Celebration, and I asked my question, and it was one of those, you know, everyone else, they would ask questions like, okay, yeah, they'd answer it, no problem. I asked my question, and the whole panel, even though it was directed at Vanessa Marshall, the whole panel turned their head to Filoni and said, and looked with, what do we say? and he just smiled and nod, shrugged his shoulders, and let it go. So, I mean, what do you do? But to say he's a master of dodging, oh yeah, very much a master of dodging.
He's never been hit by a wrench.
No. So, so let's get to wrap this up. Ken, why don't you bring it home with our rating system?
Oh yeah, I forgot all about that. I'm sitting there for a second like, wait a minute, what did you watch? Oh yeah, the rating system. We still don't have a name for it. But this is a rating system based on Michael Rosenbaum on his rewatch podcast for Smallville has the Rosenbaum rating system. Well, we adopted it here for Star Wars, and basically it's a was it 5 to -5?
3 to -5.
Or -5 to -5.
-3.
-3. -3 to -3, and where 0 is right down the center. It was just a good episode in general. 3 is a awesome, fantastic, and -3 is like -3 bombs. It's the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. So a 0 is actually still good. I mean, that is just a decent episode. It was everything you needed to be. Nothing really special, but nothing bad. So in general, from we're gonna do the whole story, the whole arc, basically. Yeah, we might as well, because it's gonna be up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down.
We're gonna do. The first 4, since that's what we're discussing. Well,
instead of saying the first 4 episodes, the beginning of season 3 in general.
Or we're at
the beginning of season 3. How do you guys feel?
Or we could break it down. We could do 1 through 3, then 4, the way they were released.
I like just where we're at. We just stop where we're at now at episode. We're a quarter of the way through the season. How do we feel so far? How have they done starting us off?
So Derek,
for it.
Start us off.
Come back to me.
Mike?
I'm going to have to go 1.75.
Wow. I was going to ask if we were doing decimals.
Yeah. I mean, almost a 2, but I think because of how I'm feeling about episodes 1 and 3, where they could have been combined. I think that's a bell point.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you, Mike. 1.75 for pretty close to the same reasons.
I think if we look back, we've not had anything that actually scored under or was 0 yet.
No.
We've done this. I mean, but you gotta have a real stinky episode to get it below a 1 or before 0.
Yeah, it's got to be bad.
I think mine 2 is getting pretty close to, because 3 is perfect.
Right.
So probably around a 1.75 probably for me, because 2 and 4 were fun. It was nice that 1 and 3 were a little down, but 2 and 4 were up. So you got kind of the up and down. It wasn't the same all the way across.
Yeah.
So I like the way they did paste those together. You know what I mean? Like if they had combined one and three, then we wouldn't have had that break in between the two and the four.
Sure.
So you get the somewhat depressing episode, and then you get the adventure. Then you get another down episode, but that ends on an up note because they've escaped.
Right.
And then the fourth episode is not, it's an adventure, but it's a different style. They're on the run. So it's like, we got nowhere but up to go from here.
I still think we're going to get some up and downs. I mean, it's going to roller coaster.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just for me, for the way it starts off, I still go back. One and three could have been merged together.
Yeah.
That's about the only hesitation that I've got. And for me, that's the only thing keeping it from having a higher score. It's the way one and three played out. Or the way the first three episodes played out. So. Final thoughts, John?
It's going to be an interesting ride. I'm curious, but also slightly concerned about how it's going to all end as far as our favorite characters are going to go or not go. Or
yeah, especially the as close as the end of episode four came to bringing some tears, I don't look forward to where we're going.
I know. Yeah.
I may have to watch the last couple episodes with the lights turned off in the room or something.
Definitely by yourself.
Just got to make sure you don't get that dust in your eye.
I don't know about your guys' wife, but if a tear starts rolling down my eye, mine will probably start making fun of me.
Melissa's usually pretty good about that. She doesn't pick on me too much about that.
Yeah, but Zoe would.
Yeah, Zoe probably would.
And she knows better.
My wife wouldn't really. Well, I guess it depends on what it's about. Maybe crying over a cartoon, she might pick on me a little bit.
Yeah, who knows? Any other final thoughts, gentlemen?
That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
I don't either. So, J7, you would, please.
Gentlemen, sounds like there's only one thing left to be said.
Give the evacuation code signal.
All right, cut the chatter.
Jet, I can hold it.
Pull up!
No, I'm all right.
I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit.
I've lost R2.
I'm going to go.